Here we go.
Okay, so we're going to continue from where we ended off last week. Not last week, Monday. And this will be the last year that we have on Zoreya, on planting. We're going to continue with the Gemara that we dealt with. We'll review the Gemara. We're going to give a different perspective on the Gemara, totally different perspective on the Gemara. And then at the end, hopefully we'll get to some of the halacha just that we haven't dealt with, just because we're finishing off planting. So there are some halacha questions that we just didn't deal with yet. So we'll deal with it at the very end. So just to review, we dealt with the Gemara in Moed Katan on Bezim and Bez, which had the following question: when you pour water on the ground, the Gemara says, "When Mashkemayim Lazroim B'Shabbes Mishemayim Masrinim Bei." What warning do you have to give if you warn somebody that you're not allowed to pour water on the ground, and then they pour water on the ground with two witnesses, so then they get the death penalty? But you have to give them the proper warning. You have to give them the proper warning. So the question is, what warning could you give them? You can't just say, which is also just interesting, you can't just say you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You can't just do that. What you have to do is you have to specify the specific malacha, the specific category that is forbidden. So that is a three-way dispute. It is a three-way dispute as to why it's forbidden. The first opinion is Rabbah. Rabbah says that it's forbidden because of plowing, chorish. The second opinion is Rav Yosef, who says that it's forbidden because of zoreya, planting. When you pour water on the ground, it helps plant the tree or whatever vegetation it is. According to the first opinion, it's plowing because when you pour water on the ground, it softens the soil. So softening the soil helps to either then plow it, or in and of itself will then allow you to put seeds into the ground, because now that it's soft, so then you could just put seeds and then cover it up with the other soil. And that's Rava and Rav Yosef's opinion. The Gemara says, within both Rava and Rav Yosef, they say, Rava says, it makes sense according to me to say that it's plowing. Why? Because it's normal to plow. Ma darko shel chorish the ripui ara. It's normal through plowing to soften the ground. So hainami me ripui ara. So this too is a form of softening the ground. And then Rav Yosef also says, no, I hold it's planting. Why? Because just like it's the normal way of planting, ma darko shel zareya litzmuche pera, it's to enhance the growth of the fruit or of that vegetation. So hachanami. So too over here, when I pour one on the ground, so I'm increasing I'm stimulating the growth of that tree or of that vegetation. So that's Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Rabbah says it's only plowing, and Rav Yosef says it's only planting. So Abaye says, I don't understand. I have a question according to both of you. Why don't you both hold like each other? Why are you limiting it? Each one is limiting it. I say it's only planting. No, I say it's only plowing. Why don't you both hold that it should be both? It should be both planting and plowing.
So the practical implication of that is, so Abayis would say, you can't do that in terms of the warning.
According to Rabbah, who says that it's only plowing, if I were to say, you are not allowed to pour water on the ground because that's planting, you are violating planting, and the guy then goes ahead and he pours water on the ground, he does not get the death penalty.
Right.
Because you gave him the wrong warning.
Right.
According to Abaye, this third opinion, who says that it's both, you have violated both. So if you say either one, if you say that you are going to violate plowing, or you're going to say you have violated planting, Chorish or Zoreya, okay, he would get the death penalty.
Okay, either.
If he violates it with two witnesses under the right conditions, so then he would get the death penalty, because either one you say is correct. You have violated plowing and you have violated planting. So if you just say one of the two, so then that would suffice. Okay. In the end, he has violated both.
Right. According to Abaye.
According to the third opinion,
Abaye. If you violated the rule of Shabbos, that's not good enough.
Yes, that's an interesting point. Why is it that you can't just say you have violated the rules of Shabbos? So that's not something I want to get into right now.
Okay.
But it is definitely an interesting point. You can't just say you have violated Shabbos. You have to specify which category of forbidden activity you're not allowed to, you are about to violate. So Abaye says both. We're going to get to other halakhic ramifications as we go along in terms of this whole dispute. And how does Abaye prove this? This is now very important. What is his proof to say that you have violated both? This is now on the last line of the Hebrew or Aramaic, and it's probably in the English here on the second page. He says, "V'chi tema kol hechadika tarti lo mechayev v'lachada." If you want to tell me, maybe this is your reasoning. If you want to tell me that whenever you do one action which leads to two results, two categories of forbidden activities, maybe we could say You have only violated one of those two. Maybe you hold that you have done one action, so that can only lead to one result. It can't lead to two results. He says, I can prove to you that that's not the case. Why? Because Rav Kahana says, "Vamar Rav Kahana, zomer v'tzarach le'itzim, chayv shtayim." If you prune, so what happens when you prune? We had this case in the past. If you prune, so you are cutting off the branches, which is a problem of kotzer, of cutting off from its source of nourishment, which is a problem of kotzer, cutting, which we'll get to at some point. But also, through pruning, you have now stimulated growth of the original tree. That tree that you're cutting off the branches from, you're now stimulating that growth. So Rav Kahana says that you have violated two of the categories. You have violated kotzer, cutting, and you have violated planting, because you have now stimulated the growth of that tree. So we see from Rav Kahana that you could do one action, i.e. pruning, and you have violated two different categories of forbidden activities on Shabbos. So that's what Abaye's question is. Now then we got into Tosfos. So we had two questions. Now, before we get into Tosfos, there are two questions. One question is, Rabbah and Rav Yosef are both saying that I hold this plowing. No, I hold this planting. Why? Because it's normal. Plowing is about loosening the ground. Planting is about stimulating growth. What is their dispute? Why is one saying plowing, one saying planting? They both agree that it's normal. The plowing is defined by softening the ground. Planting is defined by stimulating growth. So what are they arguing about? Why would one hold that it's only planting and one hold that it's only plowing? That's one question. The second question is, what is the dispute between the first two opinions, who hold that it's one or the other, but it can't be both, and the third opinion, Abaye, who holds that you have violated both? Right? We have a three-way dispute here, a three-way machlokes. So we're basically trying to understand all three opinions. Why does one hold that it's only planting, only Zareya? One hold that it's only planting, plowing, it's only Choresh? And then you have a third opinion who says that, why is it only and only? It should be both. You have violated both. So we have to understand all three opinions. So we presented one way of reading the Gemara, which was according to Tosfos. We'll review that, and then we'll go on to a second way of reading the Gemara, which is the Rashash and others. So Tosfos said as follows. Rabbah says that it's plowing. Why is it plowing? It's Choresh. Because he says that we define a malacha, we look at the forbidden activity based on the direct result of your action. This is all outside. This Tosfos is found on page 2. But it's based on, Rabbah holds that you have violated, we decide the malacha based on the direct result of your action. What is that direct result? What happens when I pour water on the ground? What's that direct result? Is it planting or plowing? What is it?
Plowing.
Growth. It stimulates growth.
Right away? But that's not the direct result.
The direct result.
What's the direct result?
The softening.
Is the softening of the ground. So that's why he says it's plowing. It's not planting. It's plowing. Because that's softening the ground. Rav Yosef says it's planting. Why is it planting? Because he says the way we define which malacha it is, which forbidden category it falls under, is not based on the direct result of the action, but it goes based on how would people perceive this picture? When I'm pouring water on the ground, how do people perceive that? Most people, not about this specific person, but the picture itself. How do most people perceive such a picture?
So,
this is Rav Yosef. So when you think about somebody pouring water on the ground, what do you think? Plowing or planting?
Planting.
You're watering your plants.
Yeah.
You're watering your plants. Right? So if you're watering your plants, so then that's planting. So Rav Yosef says it's planting, and it's not plowing, because I'm not thinking that that action is plowing. And Rabbah says it's plowing and not planting, because when I see the direct results, so then I think plowing and not planting. Now I have a question for you. According to Rabbah, who says that it's based on the direct result, let's say we would view the direct result as both plowing and planting. As both. It's not true. It's only plowing because it softens the ground. But let's say the direct result would also look like planting. According to Rabbah, is it possible to violate two malachas, two forbidden categories with one action?
Yes.
Yes. I would assume, why not? Yes. Right? I would assume yes. And according to Rav Yosef, who says that it's based on a person's, how we perceive the picture. So let's say we would perceive the picture as both planting and plowing. Equally.
Yes.
Both planting and plowing. Would you violate both?
Yes.
Yes. You violate both. Okay. That's what Tosfos would hold. So that now we understand Rabbah and Rav Yosef. The first two opinions we understand. That's what we dealt with. last week, Monday. So now, what's Abaye's question? What is Abaye proving from the case of pruning? Right, Abaye proves from the case of pruning something against Rabbah and something against Rav Yosef. So Rabbah said that we go based on the direct result. So what happens when you prune? What is the direct result?
You get both.
No, what's the direct result?
No, the direct result is you get something what's, that's...
The second after you prune, what is that direct result?
You get the wood.
You get the wood. Kotzer. Ah, so why are you chayev also? Why have you violated planting? Abaye is asking on Rabbah, you cannot tell me that it's just purely based on the direct result. Because if it's based on the direct result, so then when you prune, you should only violate kotzer, cutting. Cutting off the branches. You should not violate planting. Because planting is not a direct result. The only thing that's a direct result is the cutting. So we see from the fact that you have violated also Zoraya, planting, that it cannot be based purely on the direct result. It can't be based purely on the direct result.
The pruning examples in the Mishnah, it's like...
It's actually, he's quoting, it's not a Mishnah, it is, it's also in Amora, it's Rav Kahana. But he's still proving from Rav Kahana. He's proving from Rav Kahana. So he says, you, Rabbah, cannot be correct that it's based on the direct result, because we see from this case of pruning that it's not only the direct result of kotzer, which you have violated, but you have also violated zoreya, planting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's his question on Rabbah. Now, what's the question on Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef says that in a case of where you pour the water, you have violated planting. Why planting? Because that's the picture that we see. When you pour water on the ground, what do we see? We see that you're watering your plants. You're not plowing, you're watering your plants. So what is Abaye proving from the case of pruning? What is he proving? To ask a question on Rav Yosef, on the second opinion.
Well, what it looks like still, Rav Kahana, even though it looks like pruning, he still counts growth. He still counts planting.
It's difficult to tell what it looks like when you cut
it. What does it look like? When I'm cutting wood, what does it look like?
Oh, it depends on what wood you're cutting. But when we're doing the cedar hedge in front of the house, you're trying to stimulate growth. You're tidying it and trying to stimulate growth.
And it could be also for the branches.
Well, yeah, your removal of the branches, so it's not.
So this is why you need an added step, which is what Tosas mentions. Tosas says that Rav Kahana says that you violate both under all circumstances, all situations, even if you don't intend to stimulate the growth. Meaning, whatever the situation is, whether it's dead wood, whether it's not dead wood, regardless of the situation, you have violated both. So Abaye wants to prove from there, meaning regardless of whatever the situation is, you have violated both. So then it could even be a situation where I'm not doing it to stimulate the growth. I'm cutting dead wood, let's say. I have no intention to, I don't know if it's dead wood, but it's a situation where I don't have any intention to stimulate growth. So it's not going to be perceived, that situation would not be perceived as stimulating the growth of the tree. And yet, I have violated Zoraya, planting. So Abaye asks on the second opinion, how could you tell me that it's based on the picture if we see from this case of pruning that it's not purely based on the picture? Because when you can have a case where you're pruning where the picture is such where it's not about planting, it doesn't look like it's for planting.
And he proves that because
Rav Kahana didn't stipulate that it's only in a certain circumstance where it also looks like you're planting, where you're trying to stimulate the growth, even if it's a case where it's you're cutting the branches because it's right in front of your house, let's say, or whatever, not right in front of your house, but you're cutting the branches because you want to have a fire, you want to have wood for a fire. So regardless of the situation, so it clearly can't be just based on the picture alone. That's what Abaye says. But in the end of the day, according to Tosos, this is now Rabbi Lichtman's question that he had last week, which is going to lead to the second explanation. In the end of the day, according to Tosos' whole explanation, according to Rabbah and according to Rav Yosef, according to the first two opinions, is it possible to entertain a situation where you have violated both in one action?
Yes,
there is that possibility to violate both under one action. It just happens to be in this case the direct result leads to plowing, not planting, and the picture that we perceive is also just one action, one category of violation, which is planting and not plowing. But if I were to create a situation where the direct result would lead to two different categories, or the picture would lead to two different categories, so then I would violate both. If that's true, so then if you look back at the Gemara, what's the question of Abaye? What does he ask? You can see it in the English also. What is it? How does he? Before he quotes Rav Kahana, What is his question?
So he's right about the four warnings. So you got to tell the guy he's accused of both violations.
What is the what do you want to say? What's
that if you want to warn the guy, you got to tell him he's violating both plowing.
Well, that's his opinion, but what is his proof? Before he gives the proof of the case of pruning, he has one line. He adds one line. If you look at it in the English, it's in the last paragraph of the English on the second page. I'll read it in the bold. You see, and if you say, you see where I am? And if you say that anywhere that there are two possible categories of prohibited labor into which a particular action might fall, one is liable to be punished for only one of them. Abaye is hinting towards the other opinion's reason, the other opinion's logic, meaning the first two opinions. One that says it's only because of plowing or only because of planting. He says, what's your reason to say that you have not violated both? Because you think that when you do an action which will lead to two results, two forbidden activities, that you can only violate one of those two. And he says, but I could prove it from this case of pruning that that's not true. But that introduction, he doesn't just quote Rav Kahana. He has an introduction. And he says, if you hold that when you do one action which will lead to two results, that you cannot, we cannot view it halakhically as violating those two results. You can only violate one result. You can only give one, you can only pin one malacha to it, one category of forbidden activity to it. So, but I have a question from Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana is a case where you did one action of pruning which led to two results. It led to pruning, it led to kotzer and zoreh, it led to cutting and planting. But Abaye, in his assumption, he's assuming a certain logic behind the first two opinions. And that logic is that when you do an action which leads to two results, we can only pin down one of those two results on you. Meaning, I do an action. I do the action of pouring water. Abaye is this third opinion. Abaye holds that when I pour the water, I violated both, plowing and planting. He's talking to those that hold that it's only plowing or only planting. And he's saying, what's your logic? If you want to tell me your logic to say that it's not both, is because when I do one action, pouring of the water, it leads to two results, plowing and planting. It softens the ground and stimulates growth. That maybe I can only pin down one of those two on you. We can't say that you have violated both for whatever reason. We can't say that. We have to say that you have violated only one of those two. Halachically, we have to say you can't violate two malachas at a time in one action. You can only violate one malacha at a time. So we have to pin down one upon you. That's what he's saying. Maybe that's your logic. He says, maybe that's your logic. That's why you can't say it's two. But I can prove to you that that's not the case. Because Rav Kahana is a case where I do one action, pruning, which leads to two violations. So I see that I do one action and it leads to two violations. So don't tell me that you're thinking, what you're thinking is wrong. Because what you're thinking is that when I do one action, it can only lead to one violation. But that's not true. Because in the case of pruning, I do one action and it leads to two violations. That's really the simple explanation of Abaye. And if that's the case, according to the way Tosos is explaining it, that question doesn't really make any sense. Why?
That point is irrelevant.
Yeah, that point is irrelevant. Because Tosos, we just pointed out, according to both the first two opinions, according to Tosos, is it possible, according to the first two opinions, to violate two different malachos, two different categories of forbidden activities within one action? According to that first opinion, is it possible to violate two different malachos within one action? The answer is yes.
Everybody,
Rabbah and Rav Yosef, yes, that you could violate it. That's not the point of dispute. That's not what we're arguing about. Everyone agrees that you could violate two different action, two different results within one action. It's just that Rabbah says that the way we define a malacha is based on the direct result. The direct result here happens to be plowing and not planting. But if it would lead to also planting, if the direct result would also be planting, so Rabbah would agree that you have violated two within one action. So Abaye's introduction to his question as saying, why do you hold, is it possible for you to hold that through one action it leads to two results, has nothing to do with anything. That's not Rabbah's point. Rabbah has nothing to do with it one action leading to two results. He's just pointing out that we just care about the direct result. How do we view this picture at the end of the day?
So according to Tosfos, then there could be two direct results.
There could be two direct results where you'd violate two violations through one action.
We take that for granted that there could be two direct results?
Well, not in this case, but let's say we came up with some other situation where there's two direct results. So then Rabbah would agree that you have violated both of them. Mm. Right? And the same thing is true with the second opinion, with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef holds that it's only planting. Why? Not because when you do one action which leads to two results, I have to pin it on one of those two. No, that's not the reason. It's because when we look at the picture of what you're doing, what does it look like? It looks like you're planting. If it were to look like you're also plowing, you would violate both. So according to Tosos, the big, big question on Tosos, why many people have a hard time with Tosos, is what is the introduction that Abaye is giving? Why is Abaye introducing his question saying, and if you hold that if you do one action and it leads to two results, that you could only violate one of those two, I can prove to you that that's not the case. That's what Abaye says. But that has nothing to do with what Rabbah and Rav Yosef is talking about. Rabbah and Rav Yosef both agree that if you do one action, it could really lead to two different results and two different violations. It just happens to be in this case, based on how they define what a malacha is do we go based on the direct result or do we go based on the picture? So it just happens to be a case where you have only violated one and not two.
Can you give an example of where it wouldn't be that, like where Rabbah, both Rabbah and Rav
Yosef would agree that you violated two?
Or an example.
Ooh. Maybe writing and dying. If you have ink, dye right through.
This is what you're referring to. The Gemara says that when you write, I believe the Gemara says when you write black on red, you have red ink, and you write black ink on top of red ink. The Gemara says that you have violated two malachos, two forbidden activities: writing and erasing. Erasing is a forbidden activity. You have erased the red ink, and on top of the red ink, you wrote in black ink. And so simultaneously, in one action of writing, you have violated two different violations: writing and erasing. And that's a direct result. And when we perceive the picture, you can perceive the picture as both erasing and writing. You are both erasing that which was, and you're writing something new.
Blotting out, sorry.
What do you want to say?
Yeah, no. We usually use whiteout rather than blackout, but you're erasing. Yeah.
You're erasing with new letters.
There's another one. If there's a fire and you try and put it out with a piece of wood, and you're trying to put
the fire out with a piece of wood.
No, but your intention wouldn't be to light that wood on fire.
But it lights on fire.
Yeah, but then wouldn't Rav Yosef say?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
What if you light a fire where you have raw food? If you're like this, then you're not. And you have raw food in your oven and you light the fire.
Yeah. But the direct result.
I'm not sure because it depends on when. It's interesting. It might be similar to planting, it might not be. It depends on how you define cooking. Because if cooking. Planting is unique because, like what we had, planting might be different than cooking because planting might be the violation is the moment you put the seeds in or the moment you water the seeds, the water the ground. But by cooking, it might be the result of having it being cooked. So I'm not sure if you violate it at the moment that you turn on the fire. I'm not sure. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Anyways, but the writing case is definitely a good example. So Rabbah and Rav Yosef would both agree that in the case of writing, black on red, you have violated two different prohibitions, right?
Right.
According to Tosos. So Abaye is coming and saying, and if you hold that in the case of black on red, you could only violate one, I can prove that that's not the case. But it's not true. They both hold that you violated two.
He's talking past them.
They're not talking to each other. Rabbi and Rav Yosef have a different, totally different dispute. So it's based on that there's a whole second explanation. You have to explain Tosfos. You have to, which some of the, I don't want to get into it now, but some of the, there are commentators, there are achronim who try to explain Tosfos. But it's based on that question that there's a whole different approach to the Gemara, which is what we're going to deal with right now. And that approach is basically the introduction of Abaye. It has nothing to do with the direct result or how we perceive the picture. Nothing to do with that. The whole question is, what happens when you do one action which leads to two results? So ignore everything we said until now. Everything we said until now is the opinion of Tosfos. Now we have a new way of understanding the Gemara. What happens, in general for Shabbos, when you do one action which leads to two results? In general for Shabbos, what happens when I write black on red? What happens when I write black on red? Have I violated two different malachos of erasing and writing or not?
Yes.
I would say yes too.
Pashup Shad, according to Abaye, yes. According to Rav and Rav Yosef, no.
Yeah, so that should depend on who you hold like. It depends on who you hold like. Because the Gemara, that's exactly the Gemara's discussion. Rav and Rav Yosef say, I can only violate one of the two. The first two opinions. They say, I can only violate planting or plowing. Because they're assuming that when I do one action which leads to two results, I can only pin one of those two results. You can't violate two different malachos, two different forbidden activities in one action. It has to be one violation.
But that's not how they hold things.
That is how Rabban reviews it. That's why Rabban says it's only plowing. Rav Yosef says it's only planting.
But isn't that in this case only?
Yeah, that doesn't mean that in all cases.
You just said they're open to the idea.
That's all Tosfos. That's all Tosfos.
We're ignoring Tosfos now?
Now ignore everything we said until now. Ignore it. Totally new read of the Gemara.
Okay.
Avram Dov started off by saying he hopes to see a totally new read of the Gemara. So here it is. Right? That's what you said.
Ignoring Tosfos now.
So a totally new read of the Gemara. Ignore everything we said until now.
Apologies.
New Gemara.
Okay.
Comes the Rabbah and says, when you pour water on the ground, you have violated plowing. Comes Rav Yosef and says that when you pour water on the ground, you have violated planting.
Only.
Comes only. Comes Abaye and says you have violated both. What are they arguing about? New question. Start off with the original question. Ignore everything we said until now. New question, which is our old question. What are they arguing about?
Intention versus outcome.
That's Tosfos.
Whether someone can violate
without Tosfos. That's not the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't mention anything about the direct result versus how we perceive the picture. That was all the opinion of Tosfos.
So Abaye tells us what they're arguing about.
Yeah, Abaye tells us what they're arguing about. Abaye tells us, he says, I can prove you wrong. Because you're thinking that when you do one action, you can only violate one malacha. You can't violate two. But I can prove to you from Rav Kahana that you can violate two. Because when I prune, you violate two malachos.
So then
what is Rabban or Yosef holding? Right. What do they hold? What's the reason for them to say it's only one and not two?
Because they want to say that you can only be liable for one outcome.
Exactly.
Regardless of how many possible outcomes that action might produce.
For whatever reason, but when it comes to Shabbos, when I do one action, it can only lead to one malacha. I can only violate one malacha. That's what Rabban says, and that's what Rav Yosef says.
No double jeopardy.
No double jeopardy, exactly.
So they're basically arguing on what the usual objective of the action is. That's the
no, they're not arguing on...
They're saying the usual objective of plowing is to loosen the earth. And then Rav Yosef is saying the usual objective of sowing is to cause fruit to grow. So like one is saying that the objective is to loosen the earth. And the other one is saying the objective is to weed.
The big question is that, well, do they disagree with each other on that? Does Rabba hold that the purpose of planting is not to stimulate growth? And does Rav Yosef hold that the purpose of plowing is not to soften the ground? I think they both agree to each other in terms of that. That's what's difficult here. They don't say that, but when it comes in general, we've been dealing with planting for the past 3 weeks. How do you define planting? Planting is stimulating growth. Now, it would be surprising to say that Rabbi has a totally different explanation as to what planting is.
It's almost as if the people who offer the different understandings are looking at this from different perspectives. Like almost one of them is going to be the judge, or one of them is going to be the witness who is doing the warning.
Okay.
Depending on what role they perceive themselves to be playing, depends on
He must be a lawyer.
Well, that's how Tosus understood it. That's how the first explanation said it all depends on how you perceive and how you define when we look at the malacha. Is it the direct result or is it the picture that we see? Like before the direct result. That was all according to Tosus. We'll get back to Rabbi Nevi'ah. But it's clear from the language of Abaye, when Abaye, who's the third opinion, you have to look at the first two opinions independently, and you also have to look at the first and second opinion as a group against the third opinion. Because the first and second opinion are arguing because one holds its planting, one holds its plowing. But they have a common ground in that they hold that it's one and not two.
Right.
And the third opinion holds that it's two. That you violated both. Abaye holds that you violated both. So
just to clarify, I think what you're saying is that there's two things that we have to figure out. Number one is we have to figure out why did Rav and Rav Yosef feel that you can only violate one malacha and not two. And then within that world of okay, you can only violate one. Why did Rav choose this one and Rav Yosef
exactly,
that one?
Exactly. So we're dealing with the first question that Rav Lichman said. What is the dispute between the third opinion, Abaye, who holds that it's two, you violated two, and the first two opinions who say that you have only violated one? To answer that, the Gemara answers it. Abaye himself answers that question. What's that dispute? Because Abaye introduces his whole question, his proof, by saying, and if you hold that when you do one action it leads to only one result, I can prove to you that that's not true. So from that introduction alone, we could understand the dispute between those who hold that you have only violated one malacha versus Abaye who holds that you have violated two. Those that hold that you have violated one is because when I do one action, it can only lead to one malacha, one violation. Abaye holds that no, when I do one action, it can lead to two. How could I prove that? From pruning. Pruning leads to two.
But, okay, Abaye has a really good argument, but in that thing, Rabban and Rav Yosef have no arguments. I mean, they just say it.
They're also not.
Well, the Gemara ends off saying that this is a big question on Rabban and Rav Yosef. This is a big question on Rabban and Rav Yosef. We now have to deal with what is that internal dispute between the first two opinions. What are they arguing about? One holds that it's plowing. One holds that it's plowing, and one holds that it's planting. What are they arguing? That's what we're going to have to deal with next.
They're not saying that it's not. They're not two malachas in existence.
Just halachically, have you violated? You can only violate one.
You can only be chayav.
You're chayav for one.
One.
It's possible. Yeah.
That's the issue. They're not denying the existence of the malacha.
It's a great point. Ben's saying a great point here. If it, you would add the following: if it weren't for the fact that you could only violate one malacha, one forbidden activity through one action, they would both hold, even the first two opinions would hold, Rabbah and Rav Yosef would hold, that you have violated both plowing and planting. According to the first two opinions, according to Rabbah and Rav Yosef, this is exactly what Ben pointed out, if it weren't for the fact that they hold, let's say they were to hold that you could violate two malachos in one action. In one action, I could violate two different categories. They would both hold that you have violated, in this case, plowing and planting. They would hold that. The only reason why they don't hold that is just because halakhically we can only pin it on one of the two. But if it wasn't for that reasoning that we can only pin it on one of those two, they would agree that you have violated both. Which is totally different than how we've been understanding it until now, according to Tosos. Tosos would say that you have only, according to Rabbah, based on how he understands when to view this malacha, which is the direct result, you have only violated plowing and not planting. According to this new explanation, you have violated both. This is plowing and planting. It's just we have to pin it on one of the two.
So the difference would be that if there was no such thing as a malacha plowing, let's say, and there was only a malacha planting, so according to this opinion, according to this way of learning, everyone would agree that you're chayav for
planting.
But according to the way that Tosfos was learning,
you'd still have the dispute. You would still have the same machlokas. Yeah, you'd still have the same dispute.
Can I just add one more question?
Yeah.
If Abaye is really just trying to prove that you're chayav for, that you can be chayav for two malachas at the same time, why does he specifically pick this case? And there are other cases that exist in Shas, like the case of the red dye and the black dye on top of
it. I'm not sure why one is better than. If I recall, that's not a Tana either. I could be wrong about that. If they're both Amoris, so then... But I'm not positive. It might be a Tana. If it's a Tana, it's a good question. Anyways, one of those opinions that has this totally different way of reading the Gemara is the third source here on page 2, the Rashash. So let's just read this inside. On page 2. The Rashash says, V'li nira, says, according to me, Da korchach, lo pligi, the whole dispute here is El b'chiyai gavna, is in one situation. D'ikka beiz malachos. It's where you have violated the whole dispute here between Rab and Rav Yosef, between the first two opinions. One says plow, one says planting. When do they argue? That's only because you have violated two different malachos, two different categories of violations. And what's their dispute? What are they arguing about? Eizu ikaris d'lechayev aleha v'hashniya tivatel. They're arguing you have violated two. Everyone agrees. Rabba, Rav Yosef, and Abaye, all three agree. All three opinions agree. You have violated both plowing and planting. Both of them. But the first two opinions hold that when you violate two forbidden activities, two categories, in one action, we have to pin it on one of those two. So their argument is about which one of those two is more essential in this case. Which one is viewed as the ikker? Which one is viewed as the essential action between the two? If I had to pick between the two, which one would I pick as being more essential in a case of pouring water on the ground? Rabba says that between plowing and planting, you have violated both plowing and planting. It's just halachically, we can only pin it on one. So between plowing and planting, we would pin it on plowing, because Rabba holds that plowing is the essential. If I had to pick between the two, I would say that's the essential one. Rav Yosef would say, you have violated plowing and planting, but I have to pin it on one of the two. I pin it on planting and not on plowing. But their whole dispute only exists because I have violated two malachos. Exactly like Rabbi Lissman pointed out, let's say there would not be a malacha called plowing, they would both agree you have violated planting. Or if there was never a malacha called planting, they would both agree that you have violated plowing. In terms of what you're doing, they both agree you're plowing and planting. It's just that they both hold, when I do an action which leads to two results, I can only pin it down on one of the two. So their dispute is which one is the essential, if I had to pick between the two. Not objectively what did I violate, but if I had to pick between the two, which one is more ikker, which one is more essential, which one would be
planting. Right, it's planting or plowing.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are the two options. Yeah.
Right. So is it plowing? I think I said this on Monday. Plowing is just a small part of the greater picture of planting. Because if you just plow and do nothing else, nothing's going to grow.
But if you do without plowing, nothing will grow either.
Well, if you water, that's plowing and planting.
That's a good point.
So that's plowing.
Plowing is definitely, but plowing is a separate category. Halakhically, it's viewed, it's not viewed as just a subcategory of planting. It is viewed as its own av malacha, its own primary malacha. So even though it's for the purpose, ultimate purpose of planting, it's still halakhically is viewed as important enough to deserve its own category.
They're both for the ultimate purpose of kotzer, when you harvest whatever it is you're plowing and planting for.
Yeah, I mean, you could say planting is only to grow the tree so that you cut something off of the tree. So maybe everything falls under kotzer, under cutting. Like, even though these are all steps to ultimately reach a certain goal, but these are all important steps unto themselves.
The Rashash doesn't help us at all to understand
that dispute.
To answer any of our questions. I mean, he makes a different setup. And it's a totally different setup that everyone agrees that you could be chayav for Zareh, you could be chayav for Chorish, but you have to pick one of the two. But he doesn't help us at all in understanding why
you pick one of those two.
Why you can only pick one out of the two, and he doesn't help us to understand why Rabba picks one and Rav Yosef picks.
Yeah, so in terms of your first question about why would you hold that you can only violate one of those two, he does not address. So I'm not sure why they would hold that you only violate one of those two. In terms of the second question, you could say exactly what we said for Tosfos, in terms of just objectively, is this planting or plowing, you could just plug that into only in a case of where you have to pick between one of the two.
And what is the difference in this reading between Rav Kahana's example of pruning and our case? So like.
Oh, so what's Abaye doing with the Rav Kahana's case?
Not Abaye, but in this third reading.
This is the second reading. This is not.
Sorry, the second reading. In this second reading, it seems they, in order for it to work, we have to reconcile well why Rav Kahana says you're liable for two sin offerings, because he seems to suggest that is that it's only when one has violated two different categories of ruling actors in one action, which one is more important to be the one that's selectively viewed as having been violated. Because doesn't Rav Kahana imply that you can have two?
That's the question. That's the question. Abaye, the third opinion, who holds that you have violated both, brings Rav Kahana to prove, look, I have Rav Kahana who says that when I prune, you have violated both within one action.
Right.
And the Gemara says, that's a good question on those first two opinions. They don't answer it. They conclude by saying that is a very good question.
But they are distinguishable. Because when you are cutting trees, the two different actions are you got cutting and pruning.
Okay, but it's one action. You are performing one action of cutting. It's not like you did two different actions.
It's the same halacha too.
Okay, but that's the point. It's not the same halacha.
It is. Cutting and pruning is the same. It was pruning.
No, pruning is the same. It's part of the category of planting.
It's planting and cutting. You violated planting and cutting.
Right, but cutting is a completely separate malacha of its own.
It's separate malacha, but it's one action.
No, pruning and cutting are the same. They're kotzer.
No, they're zoreya. It's kotzer, and you have also violated zoreya.
Zoreya is the result of the kotzer. The kotzer, you call it cutting, you call it pruning.
It is the result, but in terms of an action, you have only performed one action of cutting. You didn't perform another.
If you've got a completely dead tree, and you cut that tree, you're
it's
not
true.
Also pruning.
No, but
it's,
by...
It's
by
true. There are circumstances where you just violate one and not two.
Right.
But in the case where I violated both, that's still just one action.
Right. All right, but I don't know if it makes a difference or not, but I see the distinguishing feature as when you're watering, the plowing and the...
No, because I could differentiate between those two also. I think we gave examples on Monday about this. Let's say I water with a liquid that cannot stimulate growth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I could, even within that action, I can have situations where I violate one and not the other one.
Right.
So they are parallel. Okay, so we have these two very different ways of understanding the Gemara. These are two very, very different ways of understanding the Gemara.
How does the Rosh Hash actually help us understand the Gemara?
Let's go back to the Gemara. So Rabbah says, I have only violated plowing.
Yep.
Rav Yosef says, I have only violated planting. Why do they say that I only violated one and not two? Because they're of the opinion that I could only...
Be liable for one.
Really, I violated both. If I had to define what this malacha is, really, you violated both. It's just that we have to pin it on one of the two.
Right, and there's one that's a higher quality... A larger one, and one's going to be like a subcategory.
The other one just falls by the wayside because we have to pin it on one. So that's Rabban Rav Yosef. And Abaye proves that no, you can violate two within one action. Right? So now you have to go back to Rabban Rav Yosef and say, well, why did they, what's their dispute about? What are they arguing about? Why is it only plowing or only planting? So the Rishash says they're arguing about when I have to pick between one of the two, really you violated both. But halachically, you can only violate one of those two. And so when I have to pin it down and say that I violated one, which one did I violate? So which one did I violate? The more essential one. So how do you pick the more essential one? Why does Rabba think plowing is more essential and Rav Yosef says planting is more essential? It seems pretty arbitrary. So Rosh Hashanah doesn't answer that question.
Right.
I want to suggest, well, we could take the ideas of Tosos and try to plug it into this understanding also.
Yeah.
Really, you violated both. But when I have to figure out which one is more essential, well, I could say, do I look at essential from the perspective of the direct result? Meaning the direct result is plowing, not planting. And so Rabba says, really, you violated both. But when I have to pick between one of the two, I would pick between what's the direct result. That's the one that I would pick, the direct result. And that is plowing. Rav Yosef says you have violated both. But when I have to pick between one of the two, I would pick how we perceive the picture.
And what they're picking is what they're going to be liable for. And therefore
the warning has to be that one.
Right.
And you can't give, if you give the warning to the other one, they're not liable for that one.
And it's the same penalty, right? Both of those avails carry the same penalty.
Yeah, they all have the same penalty. Yeah, they all have the same penalty.
Even cutting.
All 39 malachos have the same
death.
Death.
Yeah, for the most part, they have the same penalty. Yeah.
But you get different kinds of death.
No, it's all the same. This is stone.
All stone.
We want to get a technical here. Yeah. Okay, so we have these two very different understandings of the Gemara.
Most of the time, it's just the curve.
It's very difficult to. It has to be in a very specific situation where there's the correct warning. Two witnesses are there, warning you that you're gonna get the death penalty. There's like the Gemara Makdo says that in general, when they give the death penalty, they give it. It was very rare that they ever gave the death penalty. Like. What does the Gemara say? Like once in 7 years. If it was once in 7 years, it was viewed as a Beis Din, which is really
murderous.
Yeah. So it was very, uncommon.
Once in 7 years is one.
Most,
but you can imagine there's probably a lot less killed with Shabbos.
I would doubt there's any killed Shabbos going on now.
I guess so.
Who's witnessing?
With warnings. Witnessing with warnings.
I mean, we can't punish you.
Anyways.
I remember talking to my friend, quite a few people. Say, hey, Zareya.
Anyway, it's 10 o'clock. We're not even done yet. Okay, so I wanted to get into. Can I have 5 minutes?
Yeah.
5 minutes? Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's on the last page. How do we passkin? So, the Rambam, just before we get to the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam passkins like Rav Yosef, to say that you have violated planting only. You have only violated planting. That's what the Rambam says.
Because that's how it looks. You hope the same.
Okay, violated. 1 second. I might be confusing this.
But
yeah.
Yeah, you've only violated planting. And the Shulchan Aruch says, if you look at this top source here on page 3, he says, "Aval ochlim beginos asurim l'tol yidem al asavim shemashim osam." You can't wash your hands on gardens. Af b'she'inim mechavdim psikreishehu. Aval muter lahatul behem meir aglayim oshar mashim she'inim matzmichim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you are allowed to pour on the ground water which will not stimulate growth. Any water, so he seems, if it's not going to stimulate growth and then it becomes mutter, so then, so who does that sound like? It's mutter if it's not going to stimulate growth. It sounds like, why? It sounds like Rav Yosef.
It sounds like Rav Yosef, right?
It sounds like
Rav Yosef in the world of Tosfos.
Actually,
why?
Because in the world of the Rishash, it's Michael.
Correct, yeah, in the world of Tosfos. You're right. It sounds like in the world of Tosfos, like Rav Yosef. Just to explain, it seems like you have violated only planting. Because if you violate plowing, it wouldn't make a difference whether it stimulates growth or not. Once you pour the water on the ground, it softens the ground. Right? So it must be that you are violating planting. And because it's not going to stimulate growth, so therefore it becomes mutter. Now, this is just an added point Rabbi Lichtman's pointing out.
Right, because you could plow with urine. Is that what you're saying?
It softens the ground. It softens the ground. Yeah. As long as it softens the ground. Now Rabbi Lichman's pointing out, but this only makes sense according to one of the two explanations that we had to explain the Gemara. According to the second explanation that we had in the Gemara, if it's a scenario where you only violate one of the two, like in this case where you pour water which will not stimulate the growth, so then everyone should agree that you have violated plowing. Because right. Everyone agrees that you violated both, it's just a question of when you violate two, which one are we going to pin it down on? But if you have a scenario where you only violate one, i.e. plowing in this case, so everyone should agree that you violated plowing. It's only according to the first opinion, which is Tosfos, that holds that Rabba holds it's only plowing because objectively it's only plowing. And Rabbi Yosef holds it's planting because objectively it's only planting. Right? So in order to say that it would be allowed, permissible, to pour water that will not stimulate, not water, any liquid that will not stimulate growth, you would have to assume like the first way of reading the Gemara. That's just a side point. If you follow that, good. If not, we can discuss it later. The problem is that if you look at the Magen Avraham, who's the next source here, when the Magen Avraham is he's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, he says, why is it a problem? He says, "V'amashim mayim l'zorim chayiv." He says, why? Mishum choresh u'mishum zoreh. He says, like the third opinion, who says that you have violated both plowing and planting. And he's seemingly explaining the Shulchan Aruch. But there's a big problem with that, because if you have violated both, it should be forbidden to pour liquid which will not stimulate growth, because you have violated plowing. Right? The Magen Avraham says that you have violated plowing. If that's true, so then how could you tell me that it's permissible to pour liquid which will not stimulate growth? You have still violated plowing. You've violated choresh. So this is a big, big question. This is a question that the Bir Halacha deals with.
So maybe he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch?
Oh, so you could say that he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, which is definitely an option, because he also says that you have to worry about other liquids as well.
But, I mean, it seems pretty clear. The Magen Avraham is saying that you're chayav for both, and it's pretty clear from the Shulchan Aruch that you're only chayav for one.
No, the Shulchan Aruch is not 100% clear.
Right, it's a deal. He says that it's mutter if it's not going to stimulate growth.
Yeah.
But it's...
No, but it's not... He doesn't say black and white. I don't want to get into it. We don't have time to get into it. But the Chazanish and the Bir Halacha, they give their own explanations for this to fit the Magen Avraham with the Shulchan Aruch.
Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring in plowing.
He doesn't bring in plowing. He doesn't bring in planting either. He just says that it's not going to stimulate growth. It'll be
Magen Avraham with the Shulchan Aruch.
Stimulate growth is planting.
Do they say that the Shulchan Aruch agrees that you're chayav both?
Yeah. That's what they're saying. Yeah. The Chazanish and the Bir Halacha say that. I don't have time to get into this. I'm gonna stop. I don't have time to get into it.
Can you answer this question though? So can you be found liable of violating? How do you hold on that point? If the same action produces two results,
Then we say you have violated both.
How we hold today?
It seems like that's how we hold today. Yeah. At least for the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, you have violated both.
So you have to bring two.
Yes, you'd have to bring two. Now, because we're not going to get into Zoreya, I just halacha l'maisa for some cases that we just didn't deal with. We had a few cases that we addressed as a side. Are you allowed to open your shades if you have flowers, if you have plants in your house? Are you allowed to open the shades to allow the sunlight to come in?
Well, yes.
Is that permissible or not? So the opinions. Without getting into exactly why. The most opinions hold that it's allowed. There is one opinion, Rav Yosef Engel, who holds that it's not allowed. Most opinions say that it's allowed because that's not my intention. So it's psik resha and it's grama. There are different reasons why, which I don't want to get into, which is hard to get into right now.
Live in darkness and gloom.
No, you can leave it. You can leave it open the whole Shabbos.
Or don't roll
or be an exhibitionist.
Or plants in
there. Or be an exhibitionist.
You can put a towel over your plant and then open your blinds, no?
Now there's also a dispute. There's a dispute whether, let's say you have plants that are on perforated pots outside. Are you allowed to move it across your lawn?
No.
So that is a dispute, whether you're allowed to move that across your lawn. It happens to also be a dispute whether you're allowed to move it. Meaning
pots
with holes in the bottom, so they get nourishment from the soil or the ground.
as they're moving across.
No.
Meaning right now it gets nourishment in place X. You're moving it across your lawn to place Y. Well, it's continuously, you're not picking it up. You're not picking it up. You're just dragging it. You're dragging it across the lawn.
Then couldn't you just say it's not Zareya either, because it's still attached to
the lawn? So it's a dispute. It's
also Muktzah, no? You can't pick up a plant on Shabbos.
You mean pick?
You can pick up, you can move your flowers on Shabbos.
Even if they're in dirt.
If they are in dirt? What do you mean by in dirt?
If they're in a potted plant.
This is what the discussion is. If they're in a potted plant, this is the machlokas. This is the machlokas. To move flowers that are on your table, you're allowed to move.
Huh.
That you're allowed to move.
Okay.
But you're asking, can you move a potted plant because it's a rib? But can you move a potted plant because of mukza?
Is it mukza?
A potted plant, as opposed to just a plant. Why? Because of the.
I'm not sure about that. But let's say you need the space. Let's say you need that space. You're allowed to move regular flowers if you need that space.
Mukza machos gufo.
What?
Be mukza machos gufo.
What's the machos gufo?
Flowers.
So
clearly they have no function.
It's in a pot. The pot has a function. It's the same thing with your flowers at your dinner table. Anyway, that's the muktzah issue, which we'll get to eventually.
Can I just comment? Doesn't it sound similar to, you said you're allowed to water your plants. You can't pour water on your grass on Shabbos if the grass is already completely saturated.
Yeah.
Because you're not making a difference. If you just
I would explain what the difference is. Because when you add water to it, so the water, that water is already existing in the soil. So you're not adding anything in terms of water.
Yeah.
But when you move the pot, so then it's no longer getting the nutrients. There are different nutrients in different places in the soil. So it's now intaking different nutrients. It's not, water is all the same. But the nutrients that it's getting in a different part of the lawn is different. And the last issue is, are you allowed to move your pot from inside the house to outside the house? So that would be a bigger issue, because now you're bringing it into the sunlight. So that would be more of an issue. But they all discuss this, so it seems like it's not a muktzah issue. They all discuss whether they don't discuss
whether or not you'd be chayav.
I guess so. No, I don't know.
It's still gonna have the day come to it. Anyway. Outside.